Song 665.
Praise be to our Lord. All praise, all power to the Lord. God's people walk forward in faith. In the battle, Jesus is near to us. When danger arises, He is our help. Therefore, we are confident and jubilate. We shall not stagger until death. Praise and thanks. All power, all might to the Lord. We join God's people. Walk forward in the faith. To the land of Canaan, where the crown is waiting for us. We shall not stagger until death. Be faithful, remain faithful, ye soldiers, until your death. Even the battle is heavy, yet we shall not stagger. Praise and thanks,
Thank you.
After the battle comes the eternal joy. All sorrow will be over. There in the eternal bliss. Praise and thanks. Praise and thanks. All power, all might, all praise be unto the Lord. Now and forever. We join happily God's people, walk forward by faith to the land of Canaan, where the crown is waiting for us. We shall not stagger until death. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for this day of grace and also for the precious songs which we may sing for the honor of His name. Before we pray, I would like to read us a word of God from 1 John chapter 3. Last night, I think we read one verse of it, but let us straight read from verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for His seed remaineth in Him, and He cannot sin, because He is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. These are so precious words, and one could read on. They're so wonderful. One cannot express all this, what this man of God says here. But I think we should all think about it, asking God that he may lead us into this glory, may give us what this man of God writes here, the love toward God, and the love to our neighbor, to our brother, to our fellow man. Oh, I don't know. So much was said here. So much was said. May God come to his right in our lives. We want to thank him, worshiping him. And we hope also this morning that he will bless us. For this reason we have come together, that we worship him. And we know also this morning he will continue to speak to us through his precious and holy word. Before we hear the word of God, let us stand up for a common prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, also in this hour. We thank you for your word. Lord, you have already spoken to us through your holy word. Lord, give us open eyes, give us open ears, give us open hearts, that we are ready to receive, Lord, what you are speaking to us. For you are not making empty words, but your words are spirit and life, Lord. We want to take them to heart. We want to believe them. We want to receive them and do accordingly, Lord. Lord, give it to me. Give it to all of us by your grace. Lord, not only that we make words, but we do as your word says it, Lord. Help us this morning, Lord. Bless all who have come this morning, and bless all who could not come this morning.
bless all your people. We ask you everywhere, at all places, where they are lonely or where they might be gathered, may you bless them from the riches of your grace. We ask you also, Lord Jesus, don't pass us by this morning, but may you visit us. May you bless us, Lord. Last night, you blessed us mightily. And all the days behind us, you blessed us richly. We thank you. We worship you. Lord, we ask you also, take everything away from us what hinders your blessing, Lord, so that you can come to your right in our midst. This is all our prayer. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to ask that the singers sing for the glory of the Lord. Then I ask Brother Frank to speak to us. Maranatha, hallelujah. Maranatha, hallelujah. Jesus comes, the marriage supper is ready.
What God promised remains. He will give it. He will fulfill every promise. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for the privilege that we can be here again, hearing the word of the Lord. Words of man is not sufficient for eternity. It must be God's unmistakable word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word remains forever. And all in which God's word can abide, they will be with the Lord. I'm a bit touched this morning. Brother Schneider phoned me again. And the sister, the physician, which was together with Brother Klose, the whole night through, she didn't sleep. You all know, Brother Klose went home. I said it already last night. And she reported Brother Schneider what kind of battle he had to go through still and how he cried out for help in the hour of death. And she's now also very worried and she doesn't know how the thing ended.
This we also don't know. But one thing we know, that it was very, very late. If one waits until the hour of death, very late. And this really went through my marrow and bones. When people who many years they believed, if they wait until the hour of death and then have not even certainty or things are in their way and then crying out for help and are in trouble without having the assurance, the certainty that they were pardoned by God and that everything is all right. And it really touched me so much. And I told myself, and I'm asking all of us who we are here and who are not here, how long we shall wait to stand before God in such a way as we want to appear before Him and as we can stand our ground before Him. I personally could say many things which I went through, even the death struggle. But of that, perhaps I don't want to say much. Another phone call came, which also touches me very much. Is that of a brother from Switzerland. Some of us know him with his wife. Many years ago, he was speaking in the Grotenburg School, and his wife, she did some things which didn't behoove for her. And he has a dignified long beard, and she took him by his beard, teared him backward and forward. And not long time ago, just a few years later, she came into the nut house, and there she is now. And she's screaming, and she says, there's no grace for her anymore. She also preached herself. Whoever remembers it, many years back, he can remember it. And now, she only screams and says, to me applies Hebrews chapter 10. For me, there's no more grace. I cannot correct anymore what I caused. And she's in deep desperation. And I had to think about certain things. With people, we may get away with many things, and we even think to be in the right. But before God, we are not right yet if we think to be right with men. God wants that His word, that we respect His word in every way, that we obey it, that we do accordingly, and examining ourselves, how we stand before Him. There's, of course, this well-known word in Psalms 15, I think it is. Psalms 15, it says, let me look it up and read it precisely, so that we don't read inside out. Psalms 15, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. It's not the easy thing. We cannot sing after the slogan, we are all coming into heaven because we are so good. It's much more which is connected with it. And the closer we come to the return of the Lord, and knowing that the hour, the day, is really before us, how should we examine ourselves before our God? How we stand before Him? Not the next one, but examining ourselves. We should examine based upon the Word of God. Mostly we examine ourselves on our own discretion, but the divine examination must always be with the measuring rod of the Word of God. All of us, we are reading carefully what is written in 1 John chapter 3. And these are really hammer blows. These are so strong hits which everyone must feel, except his heart is made out of stone. And the Word of God is, of course, like a hammer which dashes stones. And it's like a fire which burns and it penetrates until it divides soul and spirit, marrow and bone. I would like to ask you to read verse 4 again, slowly reading it together with me. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. The law of God tells you and me what sin is. The law of God was given for the purpose to convict you and me of sin. Let me read to it a word. I didn't know that such a word is being read for the word of introduction from Romans. Romans chapter 7. There are, of course, many places in which Paul deals with this subject. But Romans 7 is one of them. And here it says, from verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known sin, but by the law. From verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy. We could read many things, chapter after chapter, not only here, but on some other places. Of what is it all about here, it's simply that
The law of God, the word of God, tells you and me what sin is. And that what is not said to be sin in the word of God, of this the Holy Spirit cannot convict you. And I don't know whether we all will understand it ever. Perhaps I read to it the word from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John chapter 16. Here it's written in verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. Now to the verse which I actually mean, namely verse 8. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit takes the word of God and convicts the individual based upon the word of God of sin. Another matter cannot stand before God. It's man-made, persuaded by men. But when the Spirit of God convicts, this is such a deep, such a thorough thing, which really goes into depth, that the great lamentation comes upon a man. If you want to convict one another of a matter, persuading somebody, then no divine fruit can remain at all. Just the contrary. Everything else but that will be manifested. Do we keep in mind this? God's law was given for the purpose to convict the fallen man of his sin. And this the Spirit of God does. If one reads the commandments, thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, then it is the Spirit of God who must convict and persuade the individual in what he became guilty before God. Paul, previously, he has given an example, and he said, for instance, a married woman is lawfully bound to her husband. One moment, so long and so forth, as long as he's alive. He gives here one example, and he says, the wife is bound. It doesn't say of her husband, but it doesn't play any role here. But when you then see, he lines out, and he refers to God's word. And then he asks the question, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, we have read enough of it. Now coming back to the word here in Epistle of John. Everyone who commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law.
Whoever overrides what God has defined in the law, in His commandments, and thinks it is no sin, he offends the law and he commits sin, and the sin is lawlessness. And in these days I mentioned this, I actually wanted to come to it, namely to speak of the lawless one. And this is a very important point. In 2 Thessalonians 2, at least these two verses here, verse 3 and then verse 8. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is the man of lawlessness? The one who loosened himself of the law, the one who puts himself above God's holy word, which he spake on Mount Sinai, as if it has nothing to say at all. And then verse 8, and then shall that lawless one be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Beloved, in the special sermon, Brother Branham, this place from 1 Corinthians 14, he was reading it. And then he just said one sentence, and he said, by this everything runs smoothly and in agreement. In here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is of course written that what is said to the sisters. I'm so sorry that these things must be said, but God's word is God's word. Whoever wants to override it can most certainly do it, but he will not stand his ground before God. Now, here it says, the women shall be keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. As also saith the law. Do you think that the Lord, he's the same who spoke on Mount Sinai and who spoke on the Mount of Olives? Do we think that he can say something which he can contradict himself? This is impossible. And there are certain things about which we overlooked, and other things we believed. This was a Roman leaven, and we took it over. And it was handed down from generation to generation, from church to revival and on. It was handed down. And our spiritual thinking was darkened by all these traditions. And the law of God was really buried. And that what God said, the people forgot. And they were teaching the interpretations about what God has said. And the Lord says, in vain do they worshiping me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. But the time is just here. The time has come in which the word of prophecy, the word of God, as the original seed, is preached anew. And I know precisely that whoever wants to believe the entire message until the last consequence, especially our precious sisters, they must bring a sacrifice. There's no way around it. They must bring a sacrifice. In the past centuries, it was not like this as today. It was totally different. No woman 400 years ago somebody needed to say where her place is. They all knew their places. But in the year 1933, the Lord told Brother Branham and showed him that right the women would leave their position, not taking their place which God ordained for them. How do we come to this subject now? I'm asking myself, really? But let us come back to that word here. Every word of God is, of course, important. And I didn't ask Brother Rus that he should read it. Here are very important statements. Do we recognize this? Sin is the transgression of the word of God. Sin is not that what you and I mean, but that what God's word has said. And I emphasize once again, sin is the transgression of the word of God. And one must be very careful, not after traditions, but one must take a scripture. And this is now very personal now. But I will say it, perhaps I feel better afterward, and some others also. But one brother came to me, it's many years ago, and he wanted to correct me. And I was reaching him this Bible, and I told him, if you from this Bible can show me that I did something which is not correct, not right before God, and what cannot stand before him, then I fall on my knees and on my face, and I repent. But I ask you, take this Bible and put your finger on one verse in this Bible, and then I fall on my knees and on my face, and I repent. Everyone can say all kinds of things, but this doesn't count before God. Before God counts only that what is written here, what is written black on white. Everything else are traditions, are interpretations, are things of which our spiritual thinking was darkened. It's old leaven which must be swept away. And this probably with a brand new broom, so that nothing is left. Here, wonderful things are being told to us. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. And what does Brother Branham say? Not only once, but many times he says, wherein was the original sin? By transgressing the word of God. Say amen if it's right. Otherwise, the people think I preached here to empty chairs. What was the transgression? The transgression was therein that God's word was broken. Not so. Right or not? And this we must know. The transgression before God is the crossing and breaking of his word. And then comes the Spirit and convicts man who has transgressed the word of God of sin. And then sin is lawlessness, because the one was overriding the law of God and did what he should not have done. But now, who abides in him sins not. And the explanation is given here. Where is the seed remains in him? This is the verse which gives the answer to it. We must read on. Whoever abideth in him does not sin. He who sins has not seen him, neither known him. A child of God cannot sin. It can make a mistake. It can make a wrong step. But you cannot override God's word and to be in agreement with God and all right with God. You cannot break the word of God and nevertheless stand your ground before him. This is impossible. Let us read verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Now comes the explanation. for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Amen. Who is born of God, in whose heart and soul, of course, the word of God was planted as a seed, laid into it. Without seed, there, nothing can exist. No birth. There can be no birth without a seed. It's impossible. Before there can be a birth from God, there must have been a divine seed from which the new life can be born from it. And this new life can only come forth from God. And it is, as the word, it is planted into our hearts. And then comes the Spirit of God and makes it alive. Yes, creates new life. Therein, in this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. There are so many things which are looked at here, which must be paid attention to, so that we can recognize before God what is right before him. Before, perhaps we go quickly, as Brother Bram used to say, we have such like a Sunday school. It's not a sermon here. Now, just briefly, so that we connect this from last night, I want to read you this place from Hebrews. It fits actually very nicely here. And then we go back to the Old Testament. It says here in Hebrews chapter 9, from verse 21. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. One moment. I actually wanted to read verse 19. And hyssop, and sprinkled all the people and the book and all the people. They sprinkled. Perhaps this was not expressed last night properly. God, in his word, he defined everything what should not be done. He had a people calling them out, of which he knew precisely these people is not able to follow all what I require. And then he made a connection between his requirements and between his people. And this was the blood. And the book with all the requirements and the people which was not able to obey the requirements, both he took them under the covenant of the blood, and he sprinkled both with the blood. The book with all the requirements and the people who were not be able to fulfill all that. And now coming back to the thought, the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and leads us to Calvary. And there we recognize we were not able to obey the requirements of God, but the Lamb of God has come, was obedient unto the death on the cross, and has shed his divine blood. And we see how the Old Testament people, we are under the blood of the covenant. And you all know, also about this we were speaking, that the men of God were building altars whenever the Lord spoke to them. A Noah, an Abraham, an Isaac, a Jacob, all of them, they builded altars. And so to say, they made a monument there where the Lord revealed himself to them. To me came one thought, or a couple of thoughts, concerning the forefathers. In Genesis chapter 26, we read perhaps just verse 18 and then verse 24. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. Now, verse 23. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. The Lord revealed himself to his people here on earth. And I remember a sermon in which Brother Branham said, it is strange, but one doesn't hear in these days so often that somebody can really say, the Lord has spoken to me. And he says in this connection, in previous times, it was common practice among the people. It was a fellowship between God and his own. And the Lord revealed himself to them. Today, if you have something, then perhaps a strange dream, because we have eaten late last night. But there were signs, times in which God was turning to his people, having fellowship with them, where true, genuine revelations were, where really God was in their midst. And I think it belongs to the restoration, that God can again turn to us, that he can speak, and that he can work in a way as he did in previous times. Jacob. Now of Jacob. Here it says, Genesis chapter 32 from verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. What was it? Jacob remembered that, what God did in his life. He made a comparison. That was I when you called me, and this I have become after I obeyed your call. And he saw a mighty difference. Beloved, we must draw a comparison between the day on which the Lord called us and between the day and the situation in which we are now in? What could God do in the meantime in your and in my life? Here, it's written of Jacob in Genesis chapter 33, in verse 18. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, which he came from Paddan. And pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohe Israel. It was about that somebody was building an altar. It was so precious to me. And as we heard of Brother Branham, that the one who sacrificed identified himself with the sacrifice. And we know that Christ has become our lamb, our sacrificial lamb, and that his sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And nobody needs to help here, because God helped us already. Then we read on in Genesis chapter 35 from verse 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. The men of God, they never forgot in what kind of way the Lord was with them, helping them in all the states of emergencies, in all the circumstances. And then they had the desire to worship God, to build an altar, to bring a sacrifice which should ascend up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. But now we are coming to a thing right at the end which cannot be overlooked easily. In 1 John chapter 3, we were reading that we should not be as Cain, who spoke of love but who murdered. We should not love in the way of Cain. This is with nice words. And then murdering with a deed. Now we come to a point which is very deep. There were two sons. You all know precisely. Jacob and Esau. They came forth from the same mother's bosom. And nevertheless God says, the one I loved, now the word is written, that one hated. It's enough to say, I rejected. The one I loved, chosen. The other one, I didn't love, and I didn't choose him. This is enough, because God actually cannot hate. He just sees through his omniscience. He knew already who will serve him and who will not serve him. But here we see later on the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Jacob, how they were split up in their lines. And years ago, I was reading it. After a couple of times, I heard Brother Ram say, the book of Job is one of the oldest books. And I was thinking about it, how he came to make such a statement. And if you read in Job, the man who came there, this is a direct descendant of Esau. You can read it in chapter 36, namely, Genesis 36 verse 1, it says, "Now these are the generations of Esau." And in verse 4 it says, "And Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz." Keep in mind his name. Then comes Korah in verse 5. But what is very important is here, when you read the second name in verse 11, the sons of Eliphaz were Teman and so forth. You just need to read it. These were those who then came to Job, a man of God, who was already in his deep agony of soul, and they came to him and they made accusations. They reproved him. The one said, "Literally, I will give you one now." And they all did it. But God didn't choose them at all. God didn't plan anything with them at all. This they didn't understand. But outwardly, they were speaking. But God didn't plan anything with them. God spoke with Job, of course not with them. And he told Job, "So pious and so righteous as he is, no one else is on earth." Then it says, for instance, in verse 15, "These were the dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, the Teman." I have a large number of things here. I think it's enough. The time is up. There are two lines. Since Cain and Abel. Two lines. The ones are chosen by God. They found grace in his sight. To them applies the word of the scripture. Blessed is the man whom the sin is forgiven, and the man whose guilt is not imputed. Romans chapter 4. And because they received forgiveness by God themselves, they will not accuse anyone else. Neither when they are awake, nor when they sleep. They remain conscious of it, what God has done in their lives. They will never be able to hate. They will be hated. I could tell you the story of Joseph. I noted it down. I could read it to you, what happened with him. He came, he went to the field, and a man asked him, "What do you seek?" And he said, "I seek my brethren." And what did his brothers do when he found them? What did they do? Immediately, they had the right thing in their mouth. And they said, "Now, here comes the man. Now, we want to settle our account with him." And you can read. You can see it one after the other. In what kind of way the ways of the men of God are is. Shall I read it? Today is Sunday. Why not? Genesis 37, verse 4. "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Own brothers. God planned with Joseph something. Could he something for it? That God made, God has laid a purpose in his life. Was he not the man who stored all the food in Egypt, and later on when the famine came? What happened? What happened? But the ways which he had to go through were so deep that hardly one could bear it. But the reason was because God planned something with him, and his brothers, they hated him and didn't speak a friendly word with him. Now pay attention. Here it is written. Second part from verse 14. "And Joseph came to Shechem, and while he was wandering there in the field, a man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." You see what's all about? His brothers, they didn't want him. They were not searching for him. But he was searching for his brothers. Regardless of what they did with him or what they didn't do with him, he loved his brothers. There is not any true child of God which can walk this earth full of hatred. This is impossible. This does not exist. This does not exist. He who experienced the love of God cannot do otherwise but to love, because the love of God was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. These are not empty words. This is a full experience with God. He who makes empty words has an empty heart, in whose life the word became a reality, has a heart with the reality of God. This man went there. Where are my brothers? There also we have to learn a great lesson. He didn't say to anyone, "My brothers are so and so. They did this and that." His heart was bleeding for his brothers. This is a great lesson, which we cannot overlook here. And then it says here, verse 18, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, 'Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams.'" Not a wild beast wanted to devour him. They wanted to devour him. The wild beasts were not there. These were the wild beasts which behaved. They didn't have them under control yet. Although the same father, beloved, he must learn much. Examining ourselves, the Lord said once to the two who were touched in the hearts, and they said, "Lord, if thou wilt, then we command fire from heaven." And the Lord says, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." He wanted to say, you are of the Spirit of God. How can you act here in anger like this? Think of what manner of spirit you are of. And among all the brothers, who was it? Who was it again? Judah, the tribe with which God had planned. Chapter 37. Verse 26. "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" Judah interceded for him. Again, somebody with whom God had a plan. The other chapter you may not read at all, but God planned something with this man. He interceded for his brother. With both, God planned something. And one was interceding for the other one. Hallelujah! This is the love of God, which is confirmed in truth and revealed amongst those who were loved by God. One intercedes for the other one and says, "Don't do it." This is the lesson which we have to learn. Back to John chapter 3. The love of God. But not all who say that they love God love him. And then counts the word, applies the word, "Each one shall examine himself." And also this applies to you, and this applies to me, that we examine ourselves before God to find out how it is with us. I wanted to still read some things, but God, most surely, he spoke to us this morning. I tell you once again, after the phone call, I was shocked. How will it be in you and my last hour? Perhaps there our thoughts will go on a journey, and the desire would come up, oh, could I still speak with this brother or with this sister? Oh, could I still correct this or that? Could I bring this or that into order? I know what the death hour means. I don't know whether Brother Werner Sieg will ever understand why at the time, at night at 2 o'clock, I departed from his house in Switzerland. Nobody of you can imagine what it means if one struggles with death. And then not hot sweat as now, but cold sweat, drops like pearls running down from the head to toe. My death hour was not 2 years ago here in the hospital in Krefeld. This was a blessed crossing over to the Lord. My death hour, my struggle was on that Sunday after a meeting in Zurich when I stayed overnight with Brother Werner Sieg. Up to now, I didn't say what happened at then. And perhaps he is still puzzled unto this very day why I departed then. Without saying goodbye, I can tell you, I don't wish anyone such an hour or such hours to go through. Until then, the victory of God was manifested. And I again penetrated and could walk my way with God. These are hours which no man should go through. But God speaks to us today. And he wants that we come before him saying, Lord, what can I do? What must I do to stand my ground before you? When we became believers, and one said to the other one, oh, just a little bit which was not correct. One didn't let the sun go down. One went to one another and said, brother, it was not right. What happens today? The Bible says, the love shall wax cold in many, and the unrighteousness shall abound. When the love should wax cold, then it must have burned at one stage. Otherwise, the word wax cold must not be written at all. So the love must have been here there once. The fire of God must have burned once. Then it says, it will wax cold in many, and they shall betray one another. They will hate one another, and so forth. But God, in all that, he has overcome us, who nevertheless don't lose orientation, but which has hold fast by God. Somebody said once, I'm so weak, I cannot hold fast to the hand of the Lord firmly. And Brother Bram said, my brother, you're of course not holding his hand. The Lord holds you at your hand. Don't you worry. And so, we may be confident. He holds us with his pierced hand. And he says, my child, be of good child, good comfort. I redeemed you. I called you by your name. You are mine. I made an eternal covenant with you. I put you, my word and you together under the one blood, under the blood of the new covenant. You are mine. My law must condemn you, but my grace acquitted you, and my blood speaks for you and says, you shall live. We have crossed from death to life. Praise be the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Let us pray. I believe the word spoke to all of us this morning, and all of us, we want to come into the presence of the Lord, asking for mercy, that he takes everything away from us, and so that his law and his love can lay into our hearts and mind. Let us stand up. May some still pray in a short prayer, thanking God.